Welcome to your WJAC A-Level Physics Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and mark-rich topics on the specification, nuclear decay and particles, topic 3.3. Whether you're revising for your AS or A2 papers, this episode is packed with everything you need to earn those marks. So grab a pen and let's get started. Section 1, Core Concepts, Radioactive Decay. Let's begin with the fundamentals. Radioactive decay is the spontaneous, random emission of radiation from an unstable nucleus, and I want you to hold on to those two words, spontaneous and random. They come up in exam questions more often than you'd think. Spontaneous means it happens without any external trigger. You can't make a nucleus decay faster by heating it or applying pressure. Random means you cannot predict which individual nucleus will decay next or exactly when. You can only talk about probabilities. Now, there are three main types of decay you need to know. Inside out, alpha, beta minus, and gamma. Alpha decay. An alpha particle is a helium-4 nucleus, two protons and two neutrons, written as 4 to 2 He. When a nucleus emits an alpha particle, its mass number decreases by 4 and its atomic number decreases by 2. So uranium-238 becomes thorium-234. Alpha particles are the most ionizing of the three types, but they have the shortest range in air, just a few centimeters, and are stopped by a sheet of paper. This is because they carry a double positive charge and interact strongly with surrounding matter. Beta minus decay. Here's where it gets really important for your exam. In beta minus decay, a neutron in the nucleus transforms into a proton. The nucleus emits a fast-moving electron, the beta particle, and an electron antineutrino. I cannot stress this enough. You must include the antineutrino in your equation. If you leave it out, you will lose marks because lepton number is not conserved. The antineutrino is written as nu bar e, with a bar over the nu symbol. In beta minus decay, the mass number stays the same, but the atomic number increases by 1. Carbon-14 becomes nitrogen-14. At the quark level, a down quark transforms into an up quark. This is mediated by the weak nuclear force via the W minus boson. Gamma decay. This is the simplest in terms of nuclear equations. An excited nucleus releases energy as a high-frequency electromagnetic wave, a gamma photon. There is no change in mass number or atomic number. Gamma rays are the least ionizing but the most penetrating, requiring several centimeters of lead or meters of concrete to significantly reduce their intensity. Section 2, Exponential Decay and Mathematics. Now let's talk about the maths, because WJAC loves to test this quantitatively. The activity of a radioactive source, that's the number of decays per second measured in becquerels, decreases exponentially over time. The equation is A equals A naught times e to the power of negative lambda t, where A is the activity at time t, A naught is the initial activity, lambda is the decay constant in units of per second, and t is time in seconds. The decay constant lambda tells you the probability of a nucleus decaying per unit time. A large lambda means the source decays quickly. It has a short half-life. Speaking of half-life, the half-life T half is the time taken for the activity, or the number of undecayed nuclei, to halve. The relationship between lambda and T half is lambda equals ln2 divided by T half, and ln2 is approximately 0.693. Here is the most common mistake I see candidates make. They forget to convert units. If the half-life is given in years or days, and the question asks for activity in becquerels, which is decays per second, you must convert the half-life into seconds before calculating lambda. This is a one-mark error that costs candidates dearly. Now, the really powerful skill for WJAEs is linearizing the decay equation. If you take the natural log of both sides of A equals A naught e to the negative lambda t, you get ln A equals ln A naught minus lambda times t. This is in the form y equals mx plus c. So if you plot ln A on the y-axis against time t on the x-axis, you get a straight line. The gradient of that line is negative lambda. The y-intercept is ln of A naught. WJAC examiners award one mark specifically for identifying that the gradient equals negative lambda. Make sure you state this explicitly. Section 3, the standard model and particle classification. Right, let's shift gears to particle physics. The standard model is our best current theory describing the fundamental particles and the forces between them. All matter is made of fermions, particles with half-integer spin. Fermions split into two families, quarks and leptons. Quarks are the building blocks of hadrons. There are six flavors: up, down, charm, strange, top, and bottom. For your exam, you mainly need up and down quarks. The up quark has a charge of plus 2/3, and the down quark has a charge of minus 1/3. Quarks are never found in isolation. They are always confined inside hadrons, bound together by the strong nuclear force via gluons. Hadrons are particles made of quarks. They split into two categories, baryons and mesons. Baryons are made of three quarks. The proton is up, up, down, giving a charge of plus 1. The neutron is up, down, down, giving a charge of 0. Baryons have a baryon number of plus 1. Antibaryons have a baryon number of minus 1. Mesons are made of a quark and an antiquark pair. The pi m plus is up and anti down. Mesons have a baryon number of 0. This is a key distinction. Do not call a meson a baryon. They are both hadrons, but they are not the same thing. Leptons are the other family of fundamental fermions. They do not experience the strong nuclear force. This is a key difference from hadrons. The leptons you need to know are the electron, the muon, the tau, and their corresponding neutrinos. Each lepton has a lepton number of plus 1, and each antilepton has a lepton number of minus 1. Section 4. Conservation laws in particle interactions. This is where the exam questions get really interesting. When any particle interaction occurs, certain quantities must be conserved. WJE specifically tests 3, charge Q, baryon number B, and lepton number L. My top tip for these questions is to draw a grid. Write Q, B, and L as rows. Write left-hand side and right-hand side as columns. Fill in the values for every particle. If all three quantities match on both sides, the interaction is allowed. If any one of them doesn't balance, the interaction is forbidden. Let's apply this to beta minus decay. On the left, a neutron. Charge 0, baryon number plus 1, lepton number 0. On the right, a proton, an electron, and an electron antineutrino. Charge plus 1 minus 1 plus 0 equals 0. Baryon number plus 1 plus 0 equals 1. Lepton number 0 plus 1 minus 1 equals 0. Everything balances. The interaction is allowed. And notice, without the antineutrino, the lepton number on the right would be plus 1, not 0. That's why omitting it is a fundamental error. Section 5, the nuclear force. A quick but important concept, the strong nuclear force. This is what holds the nucleus together against the electromagnetic repulsion between protons. Key facts for your exam. It acts on both protons and neutrons. It is attractive between about 0.5 and 3 femtometers. Below 0.5 femtometers, it becomes repulsive. This prevents nucleons from merging. Beyond about 3 femtometers, it drops to effectively zero. The electromagnetic force, by contrast, has infinite range but decreases with the square of distance. Exam tips and common mistakes. Now let's talk exam technique. These are the things that separate a grade A from a grade A star. First, the antineutrino in beta minus decay. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Include it every single time. Write the full equation. Don't assume the examiner will infer it. Second, activity versus count rate. Activity is the actual number of decays per second. Count rate is what your Geiger counter detects. It's always lower than the true activity because not all radiation reaches the detector. If you're given count rate data and asked to process it, subtract background radiation first. Then, if you're asked to find the decay constant from a graph, use count rate as a proxy for activity, but acknowledge this assumption. Third, unit consistency. Lambda must be in per second if you want activity in becquerels. Half-life in years? Multiply by 3.15 times 10 to the power of 7 to convert to seconds. Half-life in days? Multiply by 86,400. Fourth, for show that questions, always show every step of your working. Write out the formula, substitute values with units, and arrive at the answer. Even if you make an arithmetic error, you can still earn method marks. Fifth, for particle interaction questions, always set up the conservation grid. Don't try to do it in your head. Examiners want to see your reasoning, and a clear grid earns marks even if you make a small arithmetic slip. Right, let's test yourself. Cover up your notes and try to answer these before I give you the answers. Question 1. What is the quark composition of a neutron? The answer is up, down, down. Question 2. In a ln A against t graph, what does the gradient represent? The answer is negative lambda, the negative decay constant. Question 3. State two properties of the strong nuclear force. The answer is it is attractive between 0.5 and 3 femtometers and repulsive below 0.5 femtometers. Question 4. What particle must be included in a beta minus decay equation to conserve lepton number? The answer is an electron antineutrino. Question 5. What is the relationship between the decay constant and the half-life? Lambda equals ln2 divided by t half. Let's wrap up. The key things to take away from today. Radioactive decay is spontaneous and random. Always include the antineutrino in beta minus decay. The gradient of ln A against t graph equals negative lambda. Convert half-life to seconds before calculating lambda in becquerels. Hadrons experience the strong nuclear force. Leptons do not. Baryons are three quarks. Mesons are quark-antiquark pairs. And when checking particle interactions, always verify charge, baryon number, and lepton number. You've got this. Keep practicing those conservation law grids and those exponential decay calculations, and you'll be well on your way to full marks. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.